Hello, everyone. This month, I want to speak with you about psychic cords. It's very important to understand cords because when they exist, they influence our self-expression, personal development, health, and vital energy. To begin with, I want us to rename psychic cords. Let's start referring to them as chakra cords. I think it makes it easier to understand them, and it's a good representation of what they are, because 99.9% of the time, these cords are chakra-centered. They extend from the chakra of one person to the corresponding chakra of another. So if you can imagine this, third chakra to another person's third chakra, heart chakra to another person's heart chakra. That's how the cords line up. To understand how cords form and the scope of their influence, we have to start with a foundational understanding about chakras. As most of you know, chakras are energy centers. They align, the major ones anyway, align through the center of the body and one at the top of the head. These chakras mediate energy between the unified field, the personal energy field, and the body. And they also allow us to transmit energy outward. Chakras also are consciousness centers. And as consciousness centers, each one of them governs a certain sphere of life activity, self-expression, and life issues. Now, here's the important piece of this. The energetic condition of the chakra is representative of what's happening at a consciousness level within that chakra, representative of what's happening in that sphere of life experience and life issues. So what that means is that if a chakra is healthy and strong, that person has developed themselves in that chakra area. They're clear about expressing the core energy of that chakra. They function well through that chakra in the world. And that makes for a strong chakra. If a chakra is compromised, if it's congested, blocked, closed, toxic, there's some condition going on in that chakra energetically. What it means is in that sphere of life activity, life experience, self-expression, etc., the person has substantial challenge. It could be because of karmic history and false beliefs. It could be because of conflicts between themselves and others. It could be because they are suffering from an abusive situation or trauma, or have been suffering in the past from abuse or trauma. And all of that has not processed through. They haven't healed it. It hasn't resolved itself. And that is what's creating the energetic compromise that is present in the chakra. So that's the major piece to understand, is that that energy in the chakras reflect what's happening at a consciousness level. So with that foundation clear, we can look at relationships. When two people are in relationship, they're not only sharing emotional experience, sharing ideas, perhaps commingling their whole lives together. They're also activated at a chakra level. And certain relationships activate certain chakras. Some relationships can be awakening to all chakras, but generally not. Certain relationships emphasize certain chakras. And what happens at an energetic level in relationship is that there is a transmission of energy that goes out from the chakra to the other person. And the other person receives that and is also transmitting back, and that is received by the other partner. So there's a constant exchange of energy and receiving and transmitting of energy through the chakras. Through this exchange of energy, chakras can actually be supported and helped. And this will occur if the relationship is healthy, which means that it is of benefit to each person, that there's authenticity, that there's a spiritual resonance, an emotional resonance, and there's basic peace between people. This does not mean that there can't be challenges, there can't be very difficult times to go through or dynamics to deal with. That's all fine, but it's how they're dealt with that can indicate a healthy relationship versus a damaging relationship. So if there's mutual benefit, if there is a sense of cooperation together, if there is a sense of working toward mutual healing and what's best for each person, supporting each other in actualizing what's important, then there's a wonderful flow of energy in the chakras that are being activated. However, if the relationship is fraught with challenge, is basically unhealthy, that rather than being a benefit to one another, the relationship is actually damaging one another, then what's happening there is that there's more energy drain than exchange. And what that causes is it causes energetic as well as consciousness issues within the chakras being activated. So not only is energy being exchanged, but messages at a consciousness level, unspoken messages and spoken messages, are being transmitted and received. So now this brings us to how cords are created. And the example I want to use is one I often use, and it relates to a child and a parent. And it's important to have this frame of reference because most cords happen between child and parent. Certain cords happen between spouses, friends, siblings, but most often with parents. And this example will tell you and show you how that can happen. So let's take a 3 or 4 year old. Maybe it's you at 3 or 4. And you have a strong will and lots of energy, and you're very expressive and you're very verbal and you're very robust. And when things do not go your way, when you don't get what you need, when your feelings are hurt, when some expectation or desire isn't fulfilled, you respond with yelling or hitting or throwing things or crying. And this very overt expression of your pain or dissatisfaction or frustration can certainly invite a parent to sit down and really support your exploration of what this emotion is all about, how best to handle it, and also give you the experience of being heard and respected for what you feel. That would be the ideal. But if you had, as a child, had this temperament and energy, and your parent was threatened by that, because your parent, whether mother or father, was not comfortable with being strong-willed, with being angry, with being verbal, with being loud, etc. If they had those fears within themselves, about themselves, they will not be willing to support you in your expression of it. And so, rather than use this as an opportunity for your learning, they instead would try to suppress, inhibit, or restrict or stop your very overt expression of emotion, frustration, anger, etc. And what happens when that occurs, when there's this big person really enforcing this limitation on a child, there's an incredible force of energy that goes from the chakra of the adult to the chakra of the child. So that's one thing that's important to be aware of. So that transmission of energy is strong. But there's also a transmission of energy, of messages and emotion. There's a transmission of that you're not okay. There's a transmission maybe that you're bad. There's a transmission that this is not good behavior in any way and that you have to change. And all of that is being transmitted and being received by a child. And in that energetic and message transmission and receiving, a cord forms. Because, and this is the key fact, because the parent is overriding the sovereignty of the child, the parent is overriding the individuation and selfhood of that child. This child we're describing is fiery, is expressive, is verbal, is emotional. And this parent is overriding that. And that's where the cords get formed. When there is a negation of wholeness, a negation of self in some way. Now, with that said, I want to make sure to state here that the majority of the time there's an innocence in this process. The parent is not out to obliterate the selfhood of the child, although it certainly feels like that and certainly ends up that way, but that was not the intention. And this can be true with spouses and friends, etc. But nonetheless, that's what happens. And here's the end result. The child is at the chakra level, at the third chakra level, sticking with this example, is now contracted in some way. Maybe to an extreme, maybe only minorly. It just depends on the child and the situation. But what happens then is the consciousness of that chakra, the core expression of that chakra, all issues related to that chakra are potentially compromised. And in this case, might result in the child not being comfortable with his or her emotions. suppressing them or denying them. The child is not comfortable or able to name wants and needs. The child is incapable of advocating for self or knowing how to engage in life or in the world or with others. That impulse to engage and participate can be severely compromised as a result of this cord to the third chakra. And from this foundational cord, the child develops and grows with a, for lack of a better way to say it, a block in the expression of the third chakra. And that block continues, creating blind spots within the person's ability to understand certain aspects of life and relationship and self-expression. Also, the energy of the chakra will influence the body. And so, third chakra cords can create digestive problems. A person can have pain in their stomach, even if they don't have any kind of diagnosable condition. They can have pain or compromise in their lumbar area. They might have any kind of organ challenge. There's lots of organs in that third chakra area: liver, gallbladder, pancreas, spleen, stomach, small intestine, kidneys. I think I've named most of them. They're all there. So there can be compromise in those areas of the body. Now, I'm going to pick up on this subject in future MP3s. So I'm not going to talk about how to avoid cords or how to heal cords right now. But I do want to mention one more thing. How do we know if we have a psychic cord, a chakra cord? Well, there are some ways to know that. Look at your life history and be honest with yourself. If you understand chakra governing issues and life expressions, you can then reflect back on where do you feel you are compromised? Are you compromised in the third? Is this whole notion of what you feel being compromised? Are you compromised at the heart chakra? Are you compromised at the throat chakra? You will know because you will understand from life experience that you are not fully developed in that area. And so that can be one indicator that there is an early cord that is actually attached at that chakra. Another way is to look at your body and your health. Do you have chronic problems in one area of your body? And what's the closest chakra to it? That can reflect a cord. And the last way, which I think is very important to be aware of, is that if you have a cord with someone, when you're with that person, either in person or just talking with them, you will feel a diminishment of your own energy. It's not that they're diminishing you, but you will feel smaller, less empowered, less honest than you do with other people. So let's say you have an old cord that's still there with your mother or father, or one of your siblings. So when you're with them, you will not be as authentic, or maybe not authentic at all. Your actions may change. Your sense of your own value will change. you will feel diminished in some way. You will not assert yourself, you will not respond honestly, etc. And when you see that over and over, you can feel that sense of deficit that happens. And that's a really good indicator there is a cord. So I'm going to close with that point. I hope this has been helpful for you. Take some time to review your own body, energy, and life history, and see if you can notice where there's chakra cords. And probably in the next MP3, I will pick up where we left off here and discuss the healing of cords and how to avoid them, which is the most important piece. So, bye for now. Blessings.